Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The end of the work week for some. I always feel guilty when I say that because I'm exulting over the fact that we have a few hours left in our work week. And then I remember that some of you still have to work maybe all the way through Friday. Some of you may work weekends. And just as a side note, this is really the first time in my life that I don't work all the way through weekends. Though, of course, we work Sundays. So, you know, just allow me this moment to get really excited about the fact that we have gotten toward the end of the work week, even if that's not quite where you are, because you obviously would have had a different weekend. So maybe your weekends are Tuesday, Wednesday. Wait, Wednesday, Thursday. Mine used to be Wednesday, Thursday. My first 2 years at CBS Sports Radio, my weekends, a lot of the time, not all of the time, but a lot of the time, were Wednesday, Thursday. So I get it when you have abnormal or off work weeks. I never thought that I would care because as someone who works in sports, you always know that there are big time sporting events on the weekend. But the difference was that once I actually had Friday and Saturday nights off, I realized how much easier it is to get together with your friends and your family. Oh my goodness. So I still get excited when we kick off the last show of the work week, which is the one we are starting right now. 4 hours to the weekend, which is exciting. Now it's a big time moving weekend. Saturday is the day the furniture actually gets up and walks over to the new house. No, I'm just kidding. I wish it did. It doesn't. It doesn't listen to my command. I could point and command and it won't work. But Saturday is the day when the furniture will get moved over. And so Saturday night will be my first night in my new house. Oh my gosh. I'm really excited about that. I'm exhausted with all the packing and moving, but I'm really excited about the chance that I finally get to stay in my house. It's weird owning a house and not staying there. It's odd. There's so much about this last month. Heck, there's so much about the last 3 months that is flat out weird. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know, just a couple hours ago, I put this up on Twitter. Exactly 3 months tonight since the NBA suspended the season indefinitely. Thursday, June 11th, exactly 3 months. Think about where you were on Wednesday night, March 11th. That night, I was in my radio studio. I can kind of remember what it looks like. 3 months ago, and we know the other sports soon followed in rapid succession, like dominoes dropping. And it's staggering to think about how much has changed in these last 3 months. There are parts of my life that I don't know I'll ever look at the same. And I'm not sure I'm going to be okay to reintegrate back into society. I don't know. Will it feel weird to put on a pair of shoes other than sneakers or flip-flops? Will it feel weird to wear a dress? I love wearing dresses. I love wearing heels. It seems like forever. Will it feel weird to go into a building where there are other people that's not set up like a grocery store? So my church, which incidentally is not reopened yet. New Jersey is heading into phase 2 of reopening on Monday, though technically the stay-at-home order has been lifted in the state of New Jersey, although I don't know that it matters if you don't have any place to go. The beaches have been open for a while, and there are more businesses that are open for curbside help and delivery only. But on Monday, in my state, non-essential businesses can open up to limited capacity. Only outdoor seating for restaurants and dining rooms, that kind of thing. Still, a lot of the service businesses are closed. But I wonder if it's going to be odd walking into a restaurant. So my best friend, she's in Atlanta, a suburb of Atlanta, and they've been reopened for a little bit. But she sent me a snap tonight and said, I ate in a restaurant for the first time in 3 months. I know a lot of you are in that same boat. You're experiencing that same sensation. I just don't know what it's going to feel like. I can't imagine going back to a movie theater right now. And not because I'm afraid of the virus. I'm really not. I wear my mask whenever I'm out around other people if I'm not working out. And kind of gotten used to keeping distance. I still miss hugs, but that's mainly because I just haven't seen anyone. I'm going to hug my mom about 4,321 times when she's here in a week and a half. Mom to the rescue. She's coming to help me move in, get settled. And so it's been 3 months. The NBA was really the kingpin in terms of the sports world. After that, it was March Madness. Then it was conference tournaments. Then it was the NHL. Then it was Major League Baseball. Then it was major tennis tournaments. Then it was the Masters. Then it was NASCAR. Then it was everything after that. You all know. I don't have to tell you. It's staggering for me to think about how much has changed and how my perspective has changed. And that it's been 3 months. That also blows me away. It's been 3 full months. I hope many of you have had the chance to go back to work, whether you're working from home working or you're working in your office or place of business. If you've been out of work, furloughed, maybe you were laid off. I hope that now as we move forward, the rest of the spring and summer offers you the chance to get back to work, to do what you love if it's a career that you really enjoy, but also to be able to earn a paycheck and support your family and be able to go to restaurants, be able to go to the movie theaters when they reopen in your area. 3 months, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're glad to have you on board. I know many of you have stuck with us the entire 3 months. Some of you because you're still working, others of you because we're part of your late night or early morning routine. We've had others join in because you're not in your standard routine. And so you're maybe staying up later, not necessarily needing to stick to a particular sleep schedule. So much for the alarm clock. Oh gosh. You just don't know how much I'm looking forward to my vacation. Well, it's more of a staycation, but vacation when the family's here so that I don't have to have the alarm clock. Although Mom is the alarm clock, no doubt. It'll be the family that wakes me up. But many of you have stuck with us and have sent tweets and Facebook posts, lots of messages, kind words, support, encouragement. And even if you don't like what we're talking about, which is understandable, I don't always like what I'm talking about, but that's part of what this has meant. And I told you when this started, the next 3 months, well, I didn't say 3 months, this stretch, this spring, is going to separate the men and women from the boys and the girls in this business. And I'm pretty sure we've proved as a radio show that we are part of the adults table. We can hang, peeps. We can hang. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I was thinking about a couple of different ways to look back on the last 3 months, and I thought about our fill in the blank question, which we sometimes like to do. I thought about asking you, how would you describe the last 3 months? I thought about asking you your highs and lows from the last 3 months. There's a lot of different ways that I kind of considered getting your perspective. I don't even think it needs to be in a packaged question or a packaged format. But I'd love to hear from you if you have some reflections about the last 3 months. I certainly do. And if you have maybe a goal for the rest of the year, or you are starting to come out of what's felt like a hibernation, or you just want to talk about what these last 3 months have been like, I think that is it's something that helps me to talk about the 3 months. I can't believe it's been 3 months. No matter how many times I say it, it still seems surreal to me. So however you would like to talk about it, maybe, as I say, a high, or I can't believe that happened, kind of like me. I'm in that place. Wow, did that really happen? And I know there's still some anxieties and fears, some trepidation about what the next 3 months will bring and the next 3 months. But as I said, when we started June, only 5 months in the rearview mirror, still 7 months of 2020 to go. Now, if you are an optimist, then you think, okay, there's chance for redemption. If you're a pessimist, maybe you think, oy, it could get so much worse. It's going to get so much worse. There's still so much time for 2020 to get worse. I kind of fit somewhere in the middle. When I was younger, I was this weird, perky, just blind optimist. I'm not that anymore. Life is hard. In fact, in many cases, life flat out stinks. It does. And it seems like when it rains, it pours, which is how I feel about 2020. But I also stay hopeful. Truly nothing lasts forever. And with that perspective, you A, recognize that this too will pass. At some point, this too will pass. No matter how bad, no matter how painful, at some point, I will feel better. This too will pass. Time is like that, right? It marches on. No matter if it's a good day, a good month, a bad month. No matter if it's the worst loss of our lives, the worst failure of our lives, or it's the highest mountain we've been on ever. Time keeps moving. So nothing stays the same. And that's comforting, I think, in this spring. It has been for me to know that time keeps moving. Of course, it can always get worse, but it doesn't always get worse. And so I hope that after these 3 months, maybe it's been really bad, like really, really bad for you. I'm grateful to still have my job. I'm grateful because I would have had to forfeit the house that I got a contract on literally 4 days before the NBA shut down. I'm grateful for my boss because he continues to support me in the show. For Chris and Dave, who keep going to the CBS Sports Radio headquarters. Others who've hung out with us. Kevin was working with us tonight. Billy, who helps us a lot. Anthony, who helps a lot. So there are positives. There are silver linings when I look for them. But yeah, a good portion of these last 3 months has been blah and emotional and hard and difficult. But they're already in the rearview mirror. Seriously, 3 months in the rearview mirror. So again, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As it applies to the sports world specifically, we added another live sporting event to the mix on Thursday, which is cool. It was not the same as what you would get at a normal PGA Tour event. And it was kind of interesting to hear some of the words that were used by the golfers to describe playing this course in Fort Worth, the Colonial, without fans. So I'll read you some of them. It doesn't even matter who said them. Just these are common sentiments. Feels odd. Obviously different. Strange, to be honest. Certainly awkward. Interesting. Quite subdued. Rory McIlroy. It's what we have to do. It's what we're going to have to live with for the foreseeable future. It, I think, is a sport where it lends itself more easily than others, because generally you're supposed to be quiet on the golf course when guys are teeing off or taking shots. Now, it doesn't mean people already are. As some of you have noted, it's kind of nice not to hear crazies yelling, "It's a hole!" every time someone takes a shot. Oh my gosh, that is annoying to me. But I'm not generally at the golf course, so it doesn't bother me quite as much. And there weren't nearly as many players mic'd up. There were mics out there on the course, but not nearly as many that were specifically mic'd up. And funny enough, there were fans, but not on the course. That part I thought was interesting too. So there's a chain link fence that surrounds the Colonial Country Club, and in some cases, a green or a tee is not that far from a fence. And so you had people in small groups who were hanging out on the fence. And so while the giant leaderboard wasn't updated, while the hospitality area was silent, you had houses that were on the course where people had kind of, I don't think charged money or what, but had put up kind of their mini viewing areas and hosting mini viewing parties. And it was a little quieter. Kind of weird in those moments where you would expect to be a crowd reaction. Like the old comedies where they used to pump in the laugh tracks and you knew when they delivered the punchline, whoever the actor or actress was, when the punchline was delivered, they kind of paused waiting for the laugh track. So, yeah, different, but not terrible. Just takes a little getting used to. More like a practice round. He sounds like a laugh track, let's be honest. So did you watch the golf? It was just good to know it was there. Generally, it's my baseball that's the soundtrack of summer. Since we don't have baseball, well, we've got golf. And it's a who's who at the Colonial. 15 of the world's top 20, including the top three who are in a threesome, a group. I don't like using that word because then I can hear people laughing, giggling like, oh my gosh, Beavis and Butthead. That's what I can hear. So in my head. So it was a group of the top three in the world. And you've got big time names on the leaderboard. Kind of fun to watch through the weekend. And that's the great thing about golf, right? Is it takes us 4 days to get through a tournament. So there's a lot that you can absorb. So if you watched it, let me know what you thought. We'll hear from Justin Rose. He's one of the guys on top of the leaderboard, along with Harold Varner, who's an American. And then if you have some thoughts on the last 3 months, I'd love to hear from you on our social media as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Harold Varner III, American, who is tied with Justin Rose at -7 atop the leaderboard at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. It's at the Colonial. So you've got guys who are playing the tournament who are actually members at the club. But it doesn't normally attract this type of star power from the world of golf. 15 of the top 20, because it's been 3 months for golf. It was March 12th when they played their last professional round. Now, you've had some guys participate in charity events. Not the same as much as I enjoyed those charity events, and they raised a lot of money. This is for them to earn tour points and a trophy, and, of course, the purse, which is $7.5 million. Not normally a high-profile stop, but this year, all bets are off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So it's kind of funny to hear the various golfers like Harold Varner say that every now and then they could hear a couple of people clapping. Like I said, there were fans. They were just outside the chain link fence. They found ways to catch glimpses of their favorite golfers, but not a ton of people around, right? So you'd have a green here, a tee there, where it was close enough to the fence where people could see, or close enough to the homes where people could watch. And then you would get people clapping, like the true golf clap. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I think it's cool to have golf back. I know that, like every other athlete, these guys are anxious to get back to what they do. And with golf, not nearly as critical that they have this run up. Now, I'm sure many of them had to get back on the course. There are probably some that weren't golfing the whole time, and there were places where golf courses were closed. So we spoke to our LPGA Tour hopeful, Sarah Hoffman, a couple weeks ago. She decided to serve as a nurse. She's trained as a nurse, and she went back to her native Michigan to work in Ann Arbor on the front lines during this spring with the virus. And for a while, she couldn't play golf. Or there were times when she had to rely on friends who had private memberships to places in Michigan so that she could get out there on the course. Probably similar for a lot of these guys. Their courses weren't open. They had to find other places to play. But at least they didn't need 3 weeks to ramp up and get back into playing shape like what we're going to need for hoops and hockey. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Again, that's 855-212-4227. Now, Justin Rose is also atop the leaderboard at -7, and he's got a cool accent. But yeah, some of these guys have used the time away to maybe work on their fitness. Did you all see Bryson DeChambeau? He said he wanted to put on weight during the course of this layoff. And I didn't see the exact numbers, but I think it was about 175. He was at 175. Bryson used to be this kind of skinny, lanky guy, tall. He's the one that wears the, what are those called? The berets? No. Is it a beret that he wears? I can't remember. I suck at like cool hat names. Anyway, Bryson has always been, like I said, lean, lanky, thin. Kevin, if you want, you can find maybe an old photo of Bryson DeChambeau and a current photo. He's up to roughly 250, according to the TV broadcast. He is beefy. And I don't mean that to be an insult. I'm not saying he's fat, but you almost wouldn't recognize him. If you didn't know that was Bryson, you wouldn't recognize him because his body shape and type has completely changed. And so he did exactly what he wanted to do. A little unconventional, right? Because other than John Daly, most golfers are not beefy. More golfers tend to be lean. And so I was stunned to see what he looked like. Maybe we can find some pictures, like I said, to put up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can also find us on Facebook, 855-212-4227, if you would like to reflect with us on the last 3 months. I do have some reflections. It's just hard to believe it's been 3 months since the NBA suspended operations indefinitely. That was really, like I said, the one big crack in the dam before everything just crashed right through the wall. Forget the floodgates. The dam just, it overflowed. We're pleased to welcome Bob Uessler. That's been one positive out of this whole pandemic altered sports world or sports radio reality, sports world reality that we're in now, is that Bob is now part of our show. We get to have him on the air with us most weeknights. So, Bob, when you think about the last 3 months, I don't know, what do you think?
Well, it really is one of those cliches. All the days, Amy, seem to run into each other, mm-hmm. and you almost have to just find different ways to, vary the day, vary the routine. Otherwise, it can kind of just like become one big mishmash. But we persevere, and we're getting through, and we're getting some of the sports back slowly but surely, and that's a positive.
Yes. There were, I think going back to maybe 2 weeks into the quarantine of sorts, there were a few things. I remember texting my mom and saying, okay, these are things I need to do every day. I need to wash my face. I need to change my shirt, change my clothes. I'm not wearing the same clothes every single day. I need to do the dishes because that always makes me feel like I have, I don't know, some semblance of control over my life. And if I'm going to be in my house all the time, I need to make sure I do the dishes, right? Walk the dog, which would generally be a part of my daily routine anyway, but just basic things so that even when I felt lazy or didn't feel like I accomplished a whole lot, at least those things, baseline, those things were always done.
and the pandemic has given birth to things we wouldn't have had otherwise. And you triggered my thoughts on this when you talked about Justin Rose. I totally agree with you on the accent. And it reminded me of Andrew Cotter. Are you familiar with what he has created out there in the world of cyberspace? YouTube, I think, is where stuff is seen. If you haven't, you would love it. Andrew Cotter is a BBC sports broadcaster, does a lot of rugby, I believe. Now, his accent is not, I think Justin Rose is South African. Cotter is, I think he's Scottish, but he has this fantastic accent, and he does play-by-play of his two dogs, Olive and Mabel. And I'll leave it at that. And I'm not talking about something I just happened to stumble upon. This is a worldwide phenomenon and sensation. This guy has a huge following now. Do yourself a favor.
Okay.
When you get off the air later today, tonight, check out Andrew Cotter, Olive, and Mabel. You will thank me next week.
Did you go down the YouTube rabbit hole?
I'm not, I try, for that very reason, Amy, I don't do YouTube too often. This was shared to on Twitter.
Okay.
So then I guess it brings you to YouTube, but you make a good point there. I avoid YouTube because if I do go that route, I fall into that rabbit hole hard.
You get stuck down there?
Yes, I do. I've learned from experience. Be careful. Danger lies ahead.
Oh, well, it's good to have you. I really enjoy the times when we get to talk on the air, even though I can't see you. You're in your super secret home base.
Yes.
I'm in my super secret home base. But soon, hopefully, we will cross paths in person.
You bet.
855-212-4227. Also, check out our show Twitter, where Bryson DeChambeau has had a major transformation. His choice. He wanted to beef up, and boy, did he.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Justin Rose after talking about his accent, I had to make sure that I shared a little bit of his post-round comment with you. He said it was great, great-ish. And I'm sure there were those moments for a lot of the golfers who were out on the course in Fort Worth at the Colonial on Thursday. 3 months, actually 3 months and a day. Well, 91 days. So generally 30 days in a month. And so it was just over 3 months. But if you look back, it was March 12th, the last round they played. And so as they get into a rhythm again on Friday and tee off in round two, it will be 3 months exactly since they last had live round. So pretty amazing to see the sports world start to inch forward now. And maybe if you think about it as an old wagon wheel or wheelbarrow, a wheel that's not turned in a really long time. And so maybe it's a little rusted or it's seized. It's kind of stuck in place and you got to work on it, right? It takes a minute. So you try to push it or drag it or whatever you do with the wheelbarrow. And it takes a minute for it to kind of move. And maybe it's herky jerky as it goes around the first couple of times. And then, all right, let's get this thing moving. Or if you're old like me, sometimes when you first start running, it takes a couple of minutes, a mile or two before I get into a rhythm. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. You can also find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, and then our Facebook page as well. And we're going to spot up where you can reflect on the last 3 months or you can weigh in about the golf, whatever it is that you want to do. Coming up next hour, maybe next hour, maybe the hour after that, my conversation with longtime Grizzlies play-by-play voice, Eric Hasseltine, who may or may not be in Orlando, but the Grizzlies will be there. They're young, they're hungry, they're led by potential rookie of the year, Ja Morant, and they've been a surprise, or they were a surprise in the NBA season, and they've gone through this complete transformation, going back to the days of Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph and Mike Conley. And so it's a completely different group of guys. They've gone through multiple coaching changes, and yet they're just a game below 500 and will be in Orlando to try to hang on to that number eight spot in the West. So Eric Hasseltine will talk Grizzlies and NBA return. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We've also got Pete Carroll, who did an extensive video conference call on Thursday. And Alex Cora speaking out for the first time since the whole Houston Astros cheating scandal that cost him his job with the Red Sox and earned him a suspension for the full baseball season. I don't really believe in luck. I'm not a luck person. But seriously, can you believe this? No one is playing baseball right now. So the suspension for Cora doesn't really sting as much, does it? And maybe he misses the money, but he made handsome money with the Red Sox for those couple years. And so I feel like he's probably okay when it comes to finances. But how about AJ Hinch? Same deal. He's been pretty much off the radar now for months. Cora was too until Thursday. But at least I don't have to watch everybody else play baseball. Yeah, it's kind of nice, right? I'm not managing. You're not playing. It doesn't hurt nearly as much. Not quite the sting of the suspension that Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred intended, I'm sure. It was supposed to be painful. Yeah, not really. I thought I would pass this along, too, about the golf, and then we'll move on. But for those guys who are used to having huge galleries around them, it's kind of funny to hear their perspectives, right? Because say a Phil Mickelson, when does he ever golf where it's quiet unless he's going through a practice round? Or a Rory McIlroy, a Brooks Koepka, who, by the way, now has a mustache. And there's nobody oohing and aahing, and there's nobody surrounding the greens. I'm sure if you're one of the top golfers in the world, it does feel a little bit different. And it takes some getting used to. Maybe even your depth perception. It feels more like a practice round. And I saw one golfer say it was so different standing up on the tee. Because there were no fans, I didn't feel that same adrenaline. U.S. Open champ Gary Woodland, he had this comment. I didn't feel like I was hitting it as far because my adrenaline wasn't up. It's a big deal. He was playing with Phil Mickelson. Mickelson said it was awkward. And so this is, I don't want to say it's just golf. I mean, I am going to say that, but I want you to understand what I mean. it's golf where a good portion of the sporting event is quiet anyway. If you've never been to a golf tournament, they have monitors, multiple, usually volunteers, men and women on every hole who have to hold up these signs every time a golfer takes a shot telling them to be quiet. Literally, in some cases, it says quiet. The sign says quiet. And so these monitors, these volunteers, they get a workout. Their arms get a workout. Every few minutes, these signs go up in the air. And so, yes, you do have screaming fans for the big names, the big-time golfers, the main draws. But there are times when it's quiet. Now think about strange, awkward, interesting, subdued. I didn't have the same adrenaline. It was odd. Think about those comments from athletes and transpose them onto the NBA or the NHL, where generally there's already a din. There's already an atmosphere that's created by, say, 20,000 people being jammed into an arena, and how different it will be for them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Linda is listening in Texas. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amy. I've talked to you before. I'm originally from Tulsa, and Tiger has come to Tulsa twice to play in the PGA and the U.S. Open, but he's never come down here to Fort Worth. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think some guys choose golf courses where they are more comfortable because they know the course really well. Some guys have commitments to particular events because they're, let's say, they're events that are put on by sponsors that they work with closely. They're events where they've won before. I think in Tiger's case, they've got a plan. He and his team, they've got a plan about which events they're going to participate in. And they've got a few that they play every year. And now with the schedule condensed and it's all out of order and you've got the majors coming up, their main goal is to play in the events where he's comfortable, but also to space them out enough where he can make sure that he doesn't overdo it and that his physical body doesn't break down. So it had not been a great spring for him. Hopefully this last 3 month period helped him to get, back to the point where he was comfortable. He certainly looked great at the match too, but that was his home course. So a lot of it has to do with the events that they always play that they're committed to. Maybe coming up, he's got, a handful of events where they're all crammed in, so he wants to be careful about what he does and where he plays.
Well, okay, that makes sense. Okay, thank you, Amy. Enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks, Linda. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. So a bunch of you are weighing in about these last 3 months, and I appreciate seeing some of your comments. Chris on Facebook says, "Hey, Amy, headed home after my second day back at work, 2.5 long months of being laid off. Couldn't be happier to be back at the job." He says, "The timing was horrible, though. We want you to all stay at home with no lives." We want you to... I'm not really sure what that means. So I won't I won't read that part because I don't get it. But he does say that, thanks for keeping me company on the way home because we're one of his favorites. So that's good. I'll have to read over. Sometimes I really need to read these before I share them on the air. Louise says these last 3 months were very tough, but it made us stronger. I feel like, yes, I agree with that. It's not actually in the Bible, though some people pretend to quote the Bible and they say it. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But it's a general principle of life. If you can survive and advance, you get stronger because of the difficulty, the adversity. Use a sports, kind of a sports lens, and you realize that the teams that go through really difficult stretches, maybe an injury, maybe a losing streak, whatever it is, those teams that fight through and they have guys who step up as leaders, they have other guys who have to participate, maybe put their best foot forward, they get opportunities, they take advantage of those. All that adversity helps to create a team that is deep and that is weathered and that won't be thrown off course by a strong wind or a bit of a storm. And it also can build chemistry and bonding. So I say this all the time. No team starts a season ready to win a championship. But as you go through the season, well, then you weather kind of these ups and downs, and it makes you more equipped to weather ups and downs, if that makes sense. I hope it makes sense. Susan on Facebook, I've been a sports junkie for 50 of my 60 years. That's awesome, Susan. She says, I'm surprised by how much I don't really miss spending a lot of time sitting down to watch games. She says, my hubby is not a sports fan and he's thrilled. Listening to Sports Talk Radio while I read makes up for the absence of games. Oh, Susan has started writing a novel. That's amazing. And she says writing has given her a sense of peace over the last 3 months. Let's see. Keith wants to know, will the NFL continue to stay on schedule and begin real games on time? That's something he's been thinking about over the course of these last few months. Alex Cora, who was with the Astros, then with the Red Sox, supposed to be serving suspension. He had his first interview of the last 3 months on Thursday. And it's kind of interesting what he had to say. So I'll share those comments with you. Love to hear from you as well as we head toward the weekend. Woo!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.